Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for August 18th, 2021. Education Partnership Gets Grow Our Own Date by OA News at oaoa.com. Grow Our Own, one of the newer committees under the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, is busy gathering data to figure out new steps. This was one of several committee reports shared in an Education Partnership of the Permian Basin Zoom meeting Tuesday. Grow Our Own focuses on strengthening educational pathways and experiences for students that are parallel to the workforce needs of the Permian Basin businesses. We're in that exploratory phase, that data gathering stage, and wanted to just share those updates on what we've done so far, said Jonathan Fuentes, one of the chairpersons of the committee. Fuentes, who is an executive dean of academic partnerships at Odessa College, said they have met with dual credit officials at the three community colleges, Odessa, Midland, and Howard, plus University of Texas Permian Basin. Fuentes said the colleges and university would meet to see what the dual credit landscape looks like, gathering information for the school district partners that they serve. And that's what's needed to help it move forward, as it will play a big role in helping them meet the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board's 60 by 30 challenge. 60 by 30 Texas was launched in 2015 with a clear and bold vision to be among the highest achieving states in the country, its website said. 60 by 30 Texas is a roadmap to help Texas reach that future through higher education to be among the highest achieving states in the country, the site said. We're exploring CTE too, so we met with Carla Burney from ECISD and also Ryan Merritt from Region 18. We had some great conversations about what are the programs that need to be served and what are the needs, what are the marketing needs. What are we doing to promote a lot of the programs that are critically needed by our economy and by our workforce? We're actually in the process of developing a survey for CTE directors across the region to determine the needs, Fuentes said. He added that he expects the plan to be developed in the next couple of weeks and rolled out to school district partners. They also are exploring the idea of Promise Scholarships. Plans are for people from the area to attend the PromiseNet conference November 8th through the 9th in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Fuentes said Kalamazoo has one of the most well-known Promise programs. Fuentes said it's hoped that what is learned at the conference will be brought back to the Permian Basin. Fuentes said the committee also has discussed the educator pipeline, how to expand it, how to create more, and how to widen them. We've looked at a host of different solutions, but we'll certainly be reaching out to the ISDs to talk about what the needs are and then how we get there together. We're waiting for all the data to come together before we start rolling out recommendations, Fuentes said. Adrian Vega, Executive Director of the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, said the group is part of the Texas Impact Network. We're one of 8 total backbone organizations, so specifically, as a reminder, the Texas Impact Network was formed to help school districts roll out and implement House Bill 3 initiatives successfully. The big two ones are the teacher incentive allotment and then also the college career and military readiness outcomes bonus. There are legislative dollars tied to both those incentives. So when districts implement those efforts, more funding will come back to them. There was also a third one, the additional day school calendar, which I think both MISD and ECISD are participating in, Vega said. Vega said MISD is cohort D on the teacher incentive allotment, and ECISD is cohort C. ECISD was a year ahead, which meant last year was their implementation year, their data gathering year. Now they're going to be submitting data or scores for Texas Tech to review. This year, I think they're going to be able to distribute that additional compensation, Vega said. He added that he thinks Greenwood ISD is also taking part. From a retention perspective and a recruitment perspective, it's a significant opportunity for teachers in our area, ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray said. At the end of this year, we'll look at the data. The money arrives in early fall, so next August or September, we'll be delivering really large checks to some teachers. We will have teachers in ECISD that will make over 6 figures next year for the very first time. That's because of TIA and coupled with opportunity culture. Both of those together will push teachers beyond the 6-figure amount. That's something that certainly captures people's attention, and I know that it captures teachers' attention. I can't wait for that to happen, Murray said. According to its website, Opportunity Culture extends the reach of excellent teachers and their teams to more students for more pay within budget. Vega added that ECISD and MISD are participating in Opportunity Culture. UTPB is at the table with their residency program. There's a lot going on that we're working collaboratively to change the landscape of the work out here in education for our region, Vega said. Odessa Downtown Lions Club to donate insulin syringes. The Odessa Downtown Lions Club is donating approximately 70,000 insulin syringes to Medical Center Health System. The donation will be made at 9 a.m. Thursday in front of Medical Center Hospital by the flagpoles. Dr. Javier Morales, Service Chairman of the Odessa Downtown Lions Club, along with Kathy Rhodes, ECHD board member and Odessa Downtown Lions Club member, will present MCHS leadership with the donation. St. John's Leader Steps Up by Ruth Campbell. Heather Kirk is kicking off the new school year in a new position at St. John's Episcopal School, but familiar surroundings. Having served as assistant head of school, Kirk is now interim head of the school for the 2021-22 school year with the hopes that she will become permanent. This will be Kirk's 18th year at St. John's, and the school itself is starting its 66th year. School starts August 18th. I am super excited to have Mrs. Kirk as our interim head of school, said Abby Bishop, president of the St. John's School Board. She has a deep love of the school and is passionate about the success of St. John's. She has hit the ground running and has an energy about her that is contagious, Bishop wrote. When Kirk began teaching in 1994 at Travis Elementary School, she set a goal to be in administration. Kirk earned a bachelor's degree in multidisciplinary education from Wayland Baptist University. She also is certified in reading. About 2 years ago, I decided to start my master's degree in education administration, and I will graduate with my master's degree from Wayland Baptist University in December, Kirk said. A native Odessan, Kirk graduated from Odessa High School. She taught in Ector County ISD for 5 years at Travis and Burnett Elementary Schools. She took a leave of absence to raise her 2 daughters, and she served as a children's minister at Crescent Park Baptist Church. Her husband is Jay Kirk, a chiropractor. And then, along with the pastor's wife at that time, we started the Mother's Day Out program there. I ran the children's ministry and ran the Mother's Day Out program. When my second daughter was born, I resigned that position and started tutoring at ECISD, Kirk recalled. LaRue Moore, the late director of St. John's and mother of former head of schools Emily McDonald, called Kirk to teach preschool at St. John's. Kirk taught preschool part-time for 10 years and then moved to full-time and up the ranks. I love it because I love the school itself and I love what we stand for and the curriculum that we have. I love the organization. I love administrative type things and calendars and things like that. So I love being with the children, but also with the teachers. It's like a big family, Kirk said. She said McDonald was a great role model and noted that St. John's has had very few heads of school. I'm very honored to be part of those ranks, Kirk said. St. John's current enrollment is about 125 children in grades preschool 3 through 8th grade. The school doesn't have more than 18 students in any given class, even when you get into the upper grades. The staff numbers 28. One of her goals is to get the school's name out more. Kirk said a lot of times people say they have never heard of St. John's, even though it has been around for decades. We don't want to be the hidden gem of the West. I would love to grow our school more. We have a fabulous staff of qualified, degree-certified teachers to grow our school, and we have academic excellence. The graduates have gone on to West Point and to earn medical degrees, among other achievements. We have really great students at St. John, and it's not just academic. We instill a love of learning, but we also instill character, Kirk said. When the students move on to the public high schools, she added, the teachers love to have them because they're respectful and they have a great foundation. The school offers vocal music and recorders and is considering a handbell choir. They offer volleyball, basketball, and tennis. The latter is not competitive. Knowing the St. John's children and families has made the transition very smooth. I know the heartbeat of the school. I know the parents. I've been able to talk to them. It really has been a seamless transition in my eyes and talking to the teachers as well, Kirk said. We have a very supportive school board, and they are all on board, and they're very supportive, Kirk added. The school hosts Cookie Carnival, and Kirk said that should be happening this year. Other fundraisers, such as golf tournament in the spring to raise money for the school, also are being planned. We're excited that our middle school is growing. Each middle schooler will be able to have a Chromebook, Kirk said. She added that some things have come out of COVID, such as technology, although the school won't rely on it completely. Texas Tech hosts Vaccine Town Hall by OA News at OAOA.com. The public is invited to participate in a virtual town hall discussion on COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness and myths from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. Central Standard Time today via Zoom. This is your shot. Vaccine Facts and Science will be hosted by the Science by the Texas Tech University System, Texas Tech University Health Science Center, and the Texas Tech in El Paso, Texas. As cases of the Delta variant increase, Texas lags behind the national average vaccination rates, especially in rural counties and Black and Hispanic neighborhoods. Of the 29 million Texans, only about 43% have been fully vaccinated, according to the Texas Department of State Health Services. The town hall will provide attendees facts and information addressing vaccination hesitancy and will allow for questions from the public. Texas Tech University System Chancellor Dr. Ted L. Mitchell, MD, will welcome guests to the town hall. Texas Tech from El Paso President Dr. Richard Slang and Texas Tech President Lori Rice Spearman will moderate the town hall discussion. Obituaries: James Lawrence Jimmy Owensby, Odessa. James Jimmy Lawrence Owensby, 61, of Odessa, died Wednesday, August 11th at Hospital of Providence Trans Mountain Campus in El Paso. Viewing and visitation will be held August 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Funeral services are scheduled at 10 a.m. Friday, August 20th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Chapel, with Reverend Paul Thompson officiating. Burial will follow at the Odessa Second Section of Ector County Cemetery. Jimmy was born on August 14, 1959, in Odessa to Robert and Dorothy Owensby. He married the love of his life, Sonia, on January 29, 1982. He is preceded in death by his father, Robert Owensby. He is survived by his wife, Sonia, of Odessa, son, Dylan, of Odessa, daughter, Leah Durrell, and husband, John Durrell, of Arlington, mother, Dorothy Owensby, of Odessa, sisters, Gwenda Watkins Duke and Brenda K. Durant, of Odessa, and brother Bobby Owensby and wife Sandy of Odessa. Please visit HubbardKellyFuneralHome.com to leave online condolences. Death notices. Joan Martinez Burke, Odessa. Joan Martinez Burke, 65, of Odessa, died Thursday, August 12, 2021, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. August 20th, 2021 at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Gretchen Ann Dean, Midland. Gretchen Ann Dean, 62, died Wednesday, August 11, 2021, in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Crematory, Funeral Home, Cemetery of Midland. Gerald Dennis Laney, Midland. Gerald Dennis Laney, 80, died Saturday, August 14, 2021, in Midland. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home of Midland. Leona Marie Richardson of Odessa. Leona Marie Richardson, 65, of Odessa, died Thursday, August 12, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 12 p.m. to 1 p.m., August 20, 2021, at Martinez Funeral Home inside Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa, 2nd Section. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Frances Cabrina Sanchez, Odessa. Frances Cabrina Sanchez, 56, of Odessa, died Friday, August 13, 2021, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Thursday, August 19, at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home of Odessa. James Dean Jimmy Staines, Universal City. Jimmy Staines, 46, of Universal City, Texas, died Tuesday, August 3, 2020, in Universal City, Texas. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m., August 19, 2021, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will be at 2 p.m. at Gaines County Memorial Cemetery in Seminole. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Billy Nell West, Lubbock. Billy Nell West, 86, of Lubbock, died Thursday, August 12, 2021, in Lubbock. Graveside service is scheduled for 1 p.m. on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, at Miller's View Cemetery in Miller's View. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Horoscopes. Happy birthday for Wednesday, August 18th, 2021. You are creative, idealistic, and impulsive. You are also determined and sometimes bossy. You are a leader who is broad-minded and courageous. Nothing will hold you back once you decide to achieve something. You love to learn and expand your world through knowledge. This year, you are working to build firmer structures in your life physically and in an abstract sense. Aries. You have lots of mental energy today, which is why you will attack any job that you do with intensity and purpose. In particular, you will roll up your sleeves and dig in a hands-on way. Conversations with work colleagues will be lively. Tonight, a boss or partner may surprise you. Taurus, this can be a creative day because your thoughts are spinning and full of clever, creative ideas. Meanwhile, parents might come on a bit too strong with their kids today because there is so much mental energy. Think before you speak. Don't get your belly in a rash. Tonight, travel interruptions. Gemini, today you have the energy to tackle home repairs. Family discussions will be intense and lively. Actually, there is so much intellectual energy at play, an argument could break out because everyone has their own idea about what's best. Tonight, check your finances. Cancer, this is a busy day. Errands, short trips, appointments, and discussions with siblings, relatives, and neighbors will keep you hopping. You will also have strong opinions about physically everything and expect others to agree with you. This ain't gonna happen. Tonight, someone will surprise you. Leo, When it comes to financial issues, earnings, or buying something today, you have a strong opinions. You are not open to hearing input from others because your mind is made up. In fact, you want others to listen to what you have to say and to your way of doing things. Tonight, an interruption. Virgo, today, fiery Mars is lined up with your ruler Mercury, which makes your mental process excited and energetic. Your mind will be fast-thinking and active. However, it will also be all too easy to identify with your ego today and only see things your way. Tonight, change of plans. Libra, today you have lots of energy to do research and dig deep for answers or solutions to old problems. You'll be like a dog with a bone and you won't stop until you find what you're looking for. In this way, it can be a very efficient day for you. Tonight, stock the fridge. Scorpio, you might find yourself at odds with a friend or a member of a group, especially someone younger, because you have such strong opinions today. Your mind is going a mile a minute, which means it's difficult to take a moment to see someone else's point of view. Tonight, guard against accidents. Sagittarius, tread carefully when talking to parents, bosses, VIPs, and the police today, because people are extremely opinionated. Some people are so wound up with their ideas that they're not open to listening to others. Instead, they want everyone to listen to them. Tonight, protect what you own. Capricorn, you can use this intense mental energy today to study and learn something because you will be extremely focused. You will also be curious and eager to discover new vistas and new answers. Tonight, you feel impulsive. Aquarius, you'll get a lot done if you have to wade through red tape papers regarding inheritance, shared property, taxes, debt, and such, because you have lots of mental energy today. You will also have no trouble defending your own best interest if disputes arise. Tonight, you're restless. Pisces, you might attract someone to you today which is opinionated and has very definite ideas. Quite likely, they will be vocal and you'll feel the hair blowing back over your ears. Sheesh. Tonight, go gently to avoid arguments. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Probiotics and prebiotics. Dear Dr. Roach, please explain the difference between probiotics and prebiotics. I know they are both helpful for the digestive system, but I'm not sure why. AB. Answer. Prebiotics are non-digestible food ingredients such as fiber that promote the growth of beneficial microorganisms in the intestines. Probiotics are the healthy organisms themselves, such as lactobacillus and others. The proposed benefits include treatment and prevention of allergic disease, treatment of several intestinal diseases such as inflammatory bowel disease and infectious diarrhea, and alleviating symptoms of depression. However, the purported benefits of prebiotics and probiotics have not been proven to the point of consensus among experts. Our understanding of the microflora of the gut is really in its infancy. While I believe there are potential benefits in people with particular medical conditions, it is not yet clear which conditions they should be used for, nor which specific products to use. More importantly, many people use both prebiotics and probiotics in absence of any disease or symptoms. I do not recommend this, as there is no convincing evidence that they are effective at preventing disease. A healthy diet contains foods that contain prebiotics, and many contain probiotics as well, in the case of yogurt and other foods with active healthy bacteria. Ready for action. The caption reads, top. Hellas, construction workers stretch turf being laid down at Ratliff Stadium Tuesday in Odessa. Permian High School will be the first team expected to play on the new turf against El Paso Pueblo Hills High School on August 27th. City asked to oversee new vaccination efforts by Frederico Martinez. The Odessa City Council on Tuesday was asked to consider allowing city paramedics, a projected $2 million investment, to help oversee a new booster vaccination effort expected to begin in about 2 weeks. MCHS President and CEO Russell Tippin, ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray, and representatives from the city's fire rescue department took turns telling council during their work session that it was time for the community to work together again to tackle the new wave of COVID-19 cases that is already overwhelming local hospitals and healthcare workers. Our hospital doesn't have the staff to operate another community-wide vaccination effort, Tippin told the council. We need to look at the paramedics who we need the city's help to run it. Council did not take any action during their Tuesday work session, but Councilman Tom Sprouls and Steve Thompson publicly pledged their support for the idea, which would involve paramedics dispensing booster vaccinations to the community. We've enjoyed our partnership last year and proved that we can get things done quicker by working together, Thompson told Tippin. Tippin said MCH, whose number of COVID patients increased to 85 Tuesday, is currently overwhelmed. MCH, like many hospitals throughout the nation, are severely short of critical care nurses, he said. The question has become, who is going to care for them, Tippin said. We're getting 10 from FEMA on Wednesday, but we have 74 openings. Tippin said the hospital tries to maintain a ratio of up to 2 patients per nurse, but currently that ratio is 4-1. It's not safe anymore for the patients, Tippin said. Tippin said first responders will begin receiving their vaccination booster shots in 2 weeks, followed by the elderly and people considered high risk. Booster shots, which would be an additional shot of Pfizer or Moderna, would likely begin by November. Tippin and Murray said they envision another mass vaccination effort similar to the one held earlier this year at Ratliff Stadium. City paramedics said they also have seen a noticeable increase in the number of COVID patients they've had to respond to. In July, 106 COVID patients had to be transported by ambulance to the hospitals. Quick hits. Support rally. Connection Christian Church of Odessa has organized a support rally for Medical Center hospital staff during change of shift from 6:45 a.m. to 7:15 a.m. today at MCH. Participants are asked to stand across the street in front of the ER entrance and the main hospital entrance. Park as far away as you are comfortable walking to leave parking for the staff. Participants will hold up posters of support, pass out water bottles and snacks, and pray over health professionals. Masks are required as to show support without saying a word. Visit tinyurl.com/YTN8U45W. Summer Rhymers Set. The Permian Basin Poetry Society is having a poetry evening Thursday at the Fine Arts Building at Midland College, 3600 North Garfield Street in Midland. Known as Summer Rhymers, the event will include a 30-minute children's session from 5 p.m. to 5:30 p.m., followed by an intermission. From 6 p.m. until approximately 7:30 p.m., Permian Basin poets Laurel Santiago, Tara Santiago, Loretta Diane Walker, Mary Caitlin Miller, Jack Campbell, and Daniel Carlos Ramos will read their poetic works. William Christopher Brown, M.C., co-chair and professor of English, will serve as a master of ceremonies. The evening will include guitar music performed by Paul Sanchez and will conclude with the reception. In addition, they are having visual and performing artists at Hill Park in Monahans on Saturday afternoon sundown. The event is free. Visit tinyurl.com/CAKD3WKY. Permian Basin Friends of NRA event. The West Texas Friends of NRA have scheduled the annual Permian Basin Friends of NRA Saturday at the Midland County Horseshoe Arena, 2514 Arena Trail in Midland. Doors open at 5 p.m. There will be gun raffles, live auction, special drawings, limited edition firearms, custom knives, NRA commissioned art, ladies' merchandise, and more. Sponsorships are available for tickets or information. Call 432-638-8346. Email Dennis at candler@gmail.com or visit tinyurl.com/434647VN. Educational Workshop. The Odessa Links 8th Annual Community Conference has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. August 27th at the UTPB Seed Building, North 1310 Farm to Market 1788 in Midland. Author Elia Moreno will present a presentation, Living Intentionally to Address Poverty. Moreno is the author of Permission to Rest, From Compassion Fatigue to Compassion Satisfaction, and Living Intentionally, Mastering the Art of Impacting Others in Just 90 Seconds. This educational workshop will offer tools strategies, networking, and interactive sessions to engage the community in alleviating poverty and coping skills to avoid compassion fatigue. 5. CEUs for LPC and SW provided by UTPB. Fee is $50, includes breakfast, lunch, and program materials. To register, visit odessalinks.org. Concert: Tall City Blues Fest. Wang Dang Doodle has scheduled Ghost Town Blues Band to perform from 7 p.m. to midnight, August 28th at the Destination, 1705 West Industrial Avenue, Midland. For tickets, visit tinyurl.com/7bymfavu. Fundraiser. Donations made at the register at local Take 5 Oil Change locations will directly help medical care health systems through September 25th. The money raised will fund vital treatments, equipment, charitable care, and more for the neonatal intensive care unit, NICU, and pediatric unit. Customers will have the option to donate any amount at the register. Take 5 Oil Change is celebrating their second year of Miracles for Children's Miracle Network in the Permian Basin. In 2020, Take 5 Oil Change raised over $15,500 for pediatric patients at MCHS. Classes Enrolling by OA News at OAOA.com. Permian Basin Adult Literacy Center, PBALC, is currently enrolling for fall 2021 English classes. Classes are available online and in person at the Midland location, 1709 West Wall Street in Midland, with various days and times available beginning August 30th. Classes are also available in Big Spring in partnership with First Church of the Nazarene, 1400 South Lancaster Street, Big Spring, and in Odessa in partnership with Odessa Bible Church, 3901 Pembroke Street, Odessa. Classes at the Big Spring and Odessa locations will meet in person on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 8 p.m. beginning August 31st. Students are encouraged to contact the office at 432-682-9693 to schedule their enrollment appointment. Student applications at https://bit.ly/pbalc-student. The last day for students to enroll is September 9th. MOSC opens 59th season in September. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale opens their highly anticipated 59th season with Get the Picture at 7:30 p.m., September 11th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. The concert will feature Modest Mussorgsky's famous pictures at an exhibition. George Gershwin's Concerto in F will be performed by renowned pianist and Steinway artist Lee Wing. Rounding out the evening is a contemporary piece, Diamond Rain, by Roshan Et Asadi. Tickets start at $11 and can be purchased at mosc.org or by calling 800-514-3849. Odessa Downtown Lions Club to donate insulin syringes. The Odessa Downtown Lions Club is donating approximately $70,000.
This article is entitled, Hand Cafe Gives Back to Healthcare Workers Amid Virus Surge. Help Medical Professions Through Donations of Coffee Notes by J.C. Lewis. Hand Cafe owner Kate Wolbert has started bringing coffee and support notes to hospital workers at Midland Memorial Hospital, Medical Center Hospital, and Odessa Regional Medical Center again during the COVID-19 surge that is sweeping through the communities and area hospitals. Wolbert said the cafe started bringing coffee to hospital workers about 10 days ago since Midland Memorial Hospital has reached capacity again due to the pandemic. The cafe takes about 20 to 25 drinks daily to help boost morale among workers. It is important to me that we are bringing them refreshments, and also it's important to raise awareness, she said. We want people to remember, even if they haven't gotten the vaccine, that the hospital is overwhelmed. And so at a time when the community isn't supporting them in a way that would reduce their stress, then at least we can come together and still support them. Donations to help the initiative can be made at the Jar at Hand Cafe or via Venmo at Hand Cafe Midland. In addition to donations for coffee and treats, Midlanders can write support notes to hospital workers. Sometimes the trips include bringing treats like brownies or donuts too. Coffee is something that healthcare workers can drink during a busy shift, and it gives them more energy to get through their shift, she said. Wolbert said Hand Cafe would bring coffee and treats to Midland Memorial Hospital about 2 to 3 times a week during the worst part of last year's outbreak. She said they stopped after things slowed down, but now they have started up again. She has someone from the cafe bring coffees by every day for Midland Memorial Hospital. Then, on the weekend, she tries to bring a load to Medical Center Hospital and Odessa Regional Medical Center in Odessa. If people can't donate money, they can stop by the cafe and write notes of support and encouragement to healthcare workers. Another coffee shop giving back today are the Humane Bean locations in West Texas. Today, Midland and Odessa locations will be celebrating Marley's 4th birthday with a special Princess Marley drink, a frozen hot chocolate with princess sprinkles and swirls. Ask for Marley's drink to help. 100% of the proceeds from Mungia's drink sold that day will be donated to Mungia as she fights neuroblastoma. Donations can also be made in Marley's name in any amount at the Midland and Odessa locations. Patrons can also send birthday wishes to Marley at the shops. Also, tag hashtag MarleyStrong in posted pictures, stories, Snapchats, TikToks, and more. Visit the Human Bean, Odessa, at 4950 East University, or the Human Bean of Midland at 2007 North Big Spring Street from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. More food news. Hook and Reel will be opening a location at 2215 North Midland Drive, Suite 2A, according to the website. The restaurant will open beside the Sherwin-Williams in the Mesa Verde Shopping Center. This will be Midland's first location. The Odessa location is at 5151 East 42nd Street. The menu mostly features seafood boils cooked with patrons' favorite seafood, sauce and spice with extras like corn on the cob, potatoes, sausage, and more. Other options include raw oysters, fried calamari, gumbo, oyster po' boy, catfish basket, lobster tail basket, and more. Food to Kids Sacking will be today from 5 to 8 p.m. at the West Texas Food Bank in Odessa at 411 South Pagewoods Avenue. Volunteers will help sack the backpacks, which will be distributed to more than 50 elementary schools in 5 area school districts. The event will be the first open to community event since March of 2020. Culture, a new food truck, will have a pop-up Thursday starting at 11 a.m. at 312 North Colorado Street. The food truck usually has a pop-up every Saturday at the Midland Downtown Farmers Market. Culture specializes in fried quesadillas and tacos filled with birria, potatoes, chipotle chicken, or chorizo with cilantro, onions, grilled chilies, lettuce, crema, limones, and salsa rojo or salsa verde for toppings. Sister Dough has a new location at 3641 North Dixie Boulevard in Odessa. The gourmet donut shop plans to have a grand opening on August 21st. Wall Street Cochina's second location at Music City Mall in Odessa is now open. Hours are 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday. Yuengling Beer can now be found at establishments in Midland and Odessa. You can find it at Murray's Deli, Little Woodrow's, Bottoms Up, Buffalo Nickel, Triple Threat Bar, and more. The beer will be in stores starting August 23rd. Yuengling is the oldest operating brewing company in America, established in 1829. It is headquartered in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. This article is entitled MISD, 288 Staff Students Tested Positive, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD has reported to parents that as of Thursday, 288 students and staff members have tested positive since the start of school on August 2nd. The numbers were part of Superintendent Angelica Ramsey's weekly update for parents and staff members. She wrote that the breakdown is 217 students and 71 staff have tested positive. Midland ISD is having the same issues with COVID-19 as the rest of the community. Midland Health has reported COVID positivity rates of 28.4% and 27.6% over the last 2 weeks. There are steps you can take to protect yourself and your family. Please use mitigation strategies that work best for you and your family, Ramsey wrote. She listed the following. The wearing of masks is encouraged. Strive to maintain physical distance when possible and continue frequent hand washing. Get the vaccine if you are eligible, ages 12 and up. We want to remind everyone that we all play a role in staying healthy and keeping our schools open, Ramsey wrote. Ramsey added that the following mitigation strategies are currently in place for elementary school students. No parents will be allowed to walk their students to class. No parents or guests are invited for lunch due to the need for social distancing. Only medication or glasses should be dropped off in the office. No lunch boxes, homework, or items left at home can be dropped off by parents. Students should bring refillable water bottles or bottled water. Birthday treats or classroom snacks are limited to individually prepackaged items. No PTA meetings, performances, or programs will be scheduled for the first 6 weeks. Principals may limit the number of volunteers as needed. At MISD secondary schools, here are mitigation strategies. Visitors are not permitted to eat lunch with students or permitted to deliver lunches from outside sources. Please send your student to school with their lunch for the day, or they may choose a free cafeteria entree. Principals may limit the number of volunteers on campus as needed. Campus events are still permitted. We encourage events to be held outside with masks and social distancing where possible. Ramsey also wrote that the UIL is not currently limiting capacity for spectators at UIL events and that MISD requires that students take a COVID test before overnight travel where they will be sharing accommodations with fellow students. This is the Dear Abby column. Guilt after friend's death calls for self-forgiveness. Dear Abby, my dearest friend passed away 5 years ago. He was a severe alcoholic, and his death resulted from it. I was aware of how bad things had gotten, and I was trying to talk him into getting help. I live across the country, but visited and spoke with him often. I was considering telling his parents how bad things were, since they were mainly supporting him, but I was torn because he was an adult, and I didn't know if it would be appropriate. Well, while I was considering it, he passed away, and I haven't been able to get over the guilt. I feel like I should have done more. I have a strong urge to tell his parents I knew how he was doing and was contemplating telling them, and how sorry I am that I didn't. Would it be selfish, like rubbing salt in their wounds, just so I can find some kind of peace? I've been going back and forth with this since his death. I have such regret that I didn't do something more. I don't know if their forgiveness would help me, or if I'd just be hurting them more. Your opinion on this would be helpful. Signed, Full of Regrets. Dear Full, please forgive yourself and stop second-guessing. You are guilty of nothing more than being a caring friend. The deceased was responsible for his own alcohol-related death. If his parents were supporting him financially, they were already aware their son had a serious problem. Because after 5 years you cannot stop flogging yourself, you have two options. Discuss this with your religious advisor, or ask your doctor or your insurance provider to refer you for some sessions with a licensed psychotherapist with whom you can work through this. Dear Abby, I have had a girlfriend for about 3 years, but I have recently begun to feel indifferent about our relationship. We have to travel at least 45 minutes to see each other and don't always see each other on weekends. I have been trying to convince her to move into my townhome, but something new arises each time I bring it up. Recently, a younger woman, she's 21, I'm 32, showed an interest in me during one of my sports games. I have talked to her and won't let any relationship develop outside of being friends. She's religious and I'm not, and that's a deal-breaker for me. I'm torn between continuing to try to build my current relationship, trying to pursue the new one, or taking a step back from relationships to focus on my personal goals. Any thoughts, Abby? Signed, Pondering in Pennsylvania. Dear Pondering, it doesn't appear that you or your girlfriend of 3 years is really ready to take things to the next level. If you were, you wouldn't be debating whether to trade her in for a newer model. As to the younger one, you just clearly stated that her religiosity is a deal-breaker for you. Your third option makes the most sense. Concentrate on your personal goals for a while, and with time, your love life will work itself out. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
West Texas Food Bank rolls out Produce Pod in collaboration with Chevron. Photo by Michael Bauer, Odessa American. General Manager of Operations for Chevron's business unit, Brent Grove, talks to reporters Monday at the Martin County Food Pantry in Stanton. By Michael Bauer, M-B-A-U-E-R at OAOA.com. Stanton. After a delay, the West Texas Food Bank has finally been able to bring out the Produce Pod, which is designed to help roll out fresh produce into underserved areas in West Texas. The project, which is in collaboration with Chevron, will help out rural areas as the West Texas Food Bank had a launch celebration at the new Martin County Food Pantry on Monday in Stanton. The Produce Pod project was put on hold due to the pandemic, but is now ready to roll out to the underserved rural areas in the 19 counties that the West Texas Food Bank serves. We've always been really proud of our relationship with Chevron, West Texas Food Bank Executive Director Libby Campbell said. They've done such amazing things for the West Texas Food Bank and the 19 counties that we serve. Chevron's always been there to help with mobile distributions and with our partner agencies. Chevron's always helped. They've always been really great with being innovative community corporate partners, which is exactly what you need in the food bank business, especially during times like COVID. The West Texas Food Bank's collaboration with Chevron also includes the community kitchen, which before the pandemic was serving around 1,500 children through the Kids Cafe and summer feeding programs. At the beginning of the pandemic, The feeding programs could not operate due to safety concerns, but the kitchen did not cease operations. Before COVID, we were really looking at different ways to bring fresh produce into our 19 counties, Campbell said. Campbell said that being isolated, it can sometimes be harder to get fresh food out to the underserved areas in the 19 counties that the West Texas Food Bank covers. This project will help bring fresh produce to those areas. This will give them an extra storage space or capacity immediately to help store cold items so that they can hand those out to our clients, Campbell said. So for Chevron to be able to work with us and provide a solution for our partner agencies and our mobile distributions to provide immediate storage is huge. Of course, Chevron was able to jump on and always believed in our crazy innovative ideas. The West Texas has seen an increase in the amount of food to help out the 19 counties it serves. We went from 6.4 million pounds of food before COVID, Campbell said. We finished last year at 10.4 million pounds of food, and this year we'll close out the year at 13.3 million pounds of food to the 19 counties that we serve. That's a huge increase, but we couldn't do it without our corporate partnerships like Chevron. General Manager of Operations for Chevron, Brent Groh, said that Chevron supports the community and that food security is a huge part of helping the communities and for them to thrive. With the West Texas Food Bank, we talked about how we can further our partnership and the ability to provide produce to remote locations, and keeping it cool was one of the challenges. So through this partnership, we talked about a mobile produce pod that will help serve the need of not only providing produce locally, but throughout the community, Groh said. We're really happy today. I'm honored to launch the first Chevron produce pod. Groh said that it feels great to be able to do this, especially after the challenges posed to many people by the pandemic last year. So many people, like kids, parents, and elderly, had a challenge providing food for their families and finding food on a daily basis. So knowing that we can be a part of the equation to helping people is great, Groh said. For the West Texas Food Bank, it's been a relief to finally get the long-awaited produce pod rolling. We originally had started building and got it underway a couple of months before COVID started, and then, of course, with manufacturing stopping and everything slowing down, it put about a six-month stop to the break process, Campbell said. When we finally did get the pod in, we just wanted to use it without ribbon cutting, so it was a huge relief for our rural partners who needed immediate capacity space.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.